reminiscing about that, reminding us about that silent, silent night. Thank God for that. Well, look in your Bibles, if you would, to Mark chapter number 10. I won't particularly preach a Christmas message tonight. I'll end up with a Christmas story illustration at the end. But Mark chapter 10, we're going to look at verse number 35. And look at the idea of being a servant. And I know that many of you, most of you, maybe have been in church long enough to know a little bit more about the biblical truth of servants, that we are to be those servants, not to be served necessarily. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, came to this world to be not to be ministered unto, but to minister, which means serve. And so we're going to look at that tonight and trust to be a blessing to you. Mark chapter number 10, verse 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of? Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they answered and said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. Aren't they just like church folk today? How dare you ask that? And the other ten wanted to know the same thing, but they didn't speak it, so they said, Oh, I would never. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. And I'm reading on down there because I want you to see verse number 43. But so shall it not be among you. This is not the first thing that we're supposed to be anti-culture, counter-cultural, if you want. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. And I already alluded to this verse, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. I just want to ask the simple question, are you a servant? Are you a servant in your life? I want us all to take inventory. You know, the Bible is not just a book to be put up on a shelf and say, boy, we believe that book. That is true up to that point. But if that's all we do and we don't get it down and we don't apply it to our lives and let it get in us after we get into it, then all we are is just a big talking head, and we're not somebody who actually allows it to infiltrate us. And so I'm bringing you to a passage tonight that is very direct. You say, sometimes people say, well, I don't like to be told exactly what to do, but the Word of God told us exactly what to do. And I'm asking you, are you a servant? Father, bless us now is our prayer. Give us these next few moments together to better us, dear Lord. May we walk out of here not the same people as we came in. Lord, may this been not a waste of time. May it not be just, well, I just came because of the vote. I just came for this, that, and the other. Dear Lord, may you truly work on our hearts as we look into your word together in Jesus' name. Amen. Interesting passage. Some of the disciples want to rule over the other people. And I had an old preacher tell me one time that there's plenty of people who want a title or position. But he said there's few people that wanted the work and the trouble of helping people that come with that title. Well, a lot of people would like to have a name. Oh, I'm the minister of such and such, or I'm the coordinator of this, or I'm the assistant this, or whatnot. But it's a different thing when you actually have to take on the problems that come because of that title that somebody got. You see, all of us have people. Maybe you're a family, you've got people. We all want to have people. Don't you all want, doesn't everybody want to have a guy? I got a guy for that. You know, like when somebody says, hey, I need some work done. Oh, I got a guy. Like you got him in your back pocket. Right here he is. I just pull him out. You know, oh, yeah, I got a guy. Oh, you need a contractor? I got a guy. I got somebody. But we all have people. It doesn't matter whether you're a pastor, policeman, teacher, boss, whatever else, manager, something, government worker, doctor. You've got people. Warren Wiersbe, the commentator's dead now and in heaven. He said this, people not only have problems, speaking about having people. And usually we want to have a lot of people. Oh, yeah, I got a guy for that, a guy for that, and a guy for that. Well, he faces that by saying this. People not only have problems, but they can be the problems because of the way they deal with their own needs. And so mark it down. If you've got people, the more people you got, the more problems you have. How many of you have you've got children? They may not all be at the house, but there you've got children. How many of you figured out the more of them come, the more problems come? Well, it's your fault you kept having them. You know what I mean? You could have stopped at one. You said, oh, well, this one's a problem enough. The more of them come along, the more problems they are. But I figured this out. The kids have parents, and those parents are problems too. But we all have these people. And I realize that any time we introduce people into the equation, the question is going to become, do I serve them or not? Because the Bible says Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Now, Christ is the Lord of Lords, right? The King of Kings. So we, in our estimation, we think, well, you don't serve anyone. We've watched enough old movies to realize how kings, we don't have one in this country, but we know how kings live, or maybe fairy tales and all that. They tell their servants, do this, do this. They snap their finger, and then somebody jumps and goes. But the King of Kings, the Bible says, he came to be servant of all. He came and he came at Christmas time, the time we celebrate, wasn't necessarily December, but we celebrate as such when he did come. He came to be the servant of all. He came to be the propitiation for all mankind. So he put himself under servitude for us. And not us only, but also came to be the Savior for the sins, because of the sins of the whole world. I want you to look at this passage here, if you would. Look at verse number 37. I want to give you the expectation of the world. Now, before we get too hard on James and John, the sons of Zebedee, those sons of thunder, those guys that were, they're just about like us. It wouldn't have been out of place for us, or wouldn't have been uncommon, rather, for us to say, hey, Lord, when you get where you're going, how about giving us a premier spot? Now, we might have been more Baptist about it and said, Lord, would you mind? And kind of did it over the side instead of being in front of everybody else. Waited until he was away from everybody. John leaned on his breath, Lord, how about this? But I see the expectation of the world here in verse number 37. And they said, grant us that we may sit on thy right hand and on the other on thy left in thy glory. Seems like everybody wants to be number one. But you know, there can't be everybody in that first spot. I illustrate it like this. You know, there's more, seems to be more songs written about, more romantic songs written about the moon than anything else. Can't you just picture it? Young folks in love, and they're taking a moonlight stroll. And can you imagine the shine on, well, you know, shine on this, shine on that. And to think about this, the moon gets more publicity as far as romantic songs than anything else, the sun included. But the moon is just a reflection of the sun. Can you imagine if the moon won at top billing? I'm getting tired of being upstaged by the sun. I'm the one that has all the songs, the romantic songs written about me, but you never hear the moon complain. You know who we do hear complain? Us people. Oh, we don't do it outwardly because we know it sounds so petty, but we often complain about so-and-so getting the recognition when we should have. You remember Mary and Martha? Certainly did boil her blood, didn't it, that her sister was getting to spend all the time in there doing nothing while she's in the kitchen. But I see the expectation of the world, and it seems that the world has this infatuation with being the top of the food chain. If you're going to be in there, you might as well be the top. And this doesn't have anything to do with you rising to the top of your profession, because I believe that as God blesses people and as they exhibit biblical characteristics and they live a Bible life, I believe that their supervisors and superiors will naturally raise them up because they see that character and they see that dependability. So I'm not talking about whether you're the boss or whether you're not, because I would say if you're the boss, you're still supposed to be the servant, because Jesus was. And so in contrast to the expectation of the world says, let us be there and let us be there. Let us be up at the top close to you. General Bruce Clark, who I don't know, but reading some writings, he said this, rank is given you to enable you to be better able to serve those above and below you. It's not given to you to practice your idiosyncrasies. meaning that you climb in the ranks of the military. Specifically, he was the U.S. Army retired commander of the Continental Army. He was saying that the rank in his army was not given just so you can lord over people and that you can get your little way about this, that, or the other, but instead, it was given so that you can better serve those that are still above you, but then also those that are below you. But you see the world's philosophy. The world is, could you give me a position? But then I want you to look at, not only to see the expectation of the world, but I want you to look at verse number 43. If you would, I want you to see the explanation here given from God's economy. Verse 43, but so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be greatest among you shall be your minister, in other words, for servant. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. Now we see that Jesus says the way up is down. We see him saying that the way to be the best is to be the least of everybody. You take it like this. If you're the father of the house and you've got several children, you expect to be able to sit in that recliner and leave it leaned back, and when the sweet tea glass gets empty, you just rattle it, right? And when the ice hits the side, then that's a signal to whoever, whatever young'uns are in there, to go get it and put more sweet tea in it, right? Now, we all joke about things like that, but that's somehow we have the idea. But can I take you another side of that? Can I take you to the side of it that this says this? That glass-shaken father is also one that's responsible for everything that goes on in that home? Mom and dad took on the responsibility of those kids that are supposed to be obedient to their parents. Mom and dad took on the financial responsibilities of taking care of those children. And so in essence, when dad goes to work, and many times mom as well, but when dad goes to work and God puts him at the position that he is biblically given from the Word of God, when dad goes to work and he does all these things, he is the servant to everybody that lives in that house. Now, we make him take a snapshot of it and say, yeah, but he got to tell a kid, hey, go get that for me, and they went and got it and brought it back. But then who's the one that's truly on the hook to pay for everything that goes on in that family? Dad and mom. And so truly, if you're a young person in here, you say, boy, mom and dad have it made. They don't do nothing around here. They decided when God started that family that they would be the servant to everybody in that house. You think that's not true, then you watch a family as their children grow to be now adult children, and they go out, and then somebody's got to get an extra job. Guess who gets on the hook to be a babysitter? Grandma. She's still serving. And so I see that the greatest of all is the servant to all. So I see the explanation here from God's economy. John chapter 13, verse number 3 says this, Jesus knowing this, if you would listen close, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and it goes on just a half a verse later, he riseth from supper and took a towel. And you know where the story goes from there, right? And he washed the disciples' feet. Now, you knowing the story, can I read you back the first part of the verse? Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, because he knew that everything was at his disposal because he's God, because he knew all that, he took a towel and girded and washed his disciples' feet. One of the most beautiful pictures of humility in all of Scripture. And it's on the heels of the verse that says, because the Savior knew that everything was his, he became a servant. Can you see the contrast from the world's mentality to Christ's mentality? Can you see how we get into this thing of, if I'm the executive director at my work, then I'm not supposed to care about anybody's needs below me. Now, it may be that you have 13 people who work for you to take care of things, but that doesn't take away your responsibility of being a servant in life to folks. And may you and I never take our position, whatever position is, be it a parent, be it a pastor, be it a boss, be it a manager, be it a supervisor, whatever it is, may you and I never take our position and let it allow us to excuse being brash and harsh and unkind to people, because I remind you of the example of Christ, that He, knowing that the Father had given Him all things, took a towel and came to His disciples and knelt down and washed their dirty feet. So I see not only the expectation of the world, but the explanation from God's economy. I'll give you one little personal illustration. My uncle, who's in heaven, he was the greatest uncle that I think that any of our family had. He was a true servant to all the kids. He was all forevermore taking extra kids. He had a big old long Caprice station wagon. You know those ones that had the back door in the back where those people, they had the throw-up seats because you were facing the wrong direction? And those West Virginia roads were bad and dusty, and the cars weren't built as well as they are now, and fumes were coming up through there, and dust and all that. Regardless of the transportation he used, that's what he had and toted us around in. But he was always forevermore taking an extra kid. Hey, why don't you come on and go with us? He loved to fish. He'd go fishing, go here, go there, go there. He put himself out again and again and again. Can I tell you, when he went to heaven, that the stories weren't hard. I had the privilege of preaching his funeral. Can I tell you that the stories weren't hard to have from the cousins? Because here was a man that served his family. I see the explanation of God's economy. The way up is down. And then I see verse number 45, the example of the Savior. As if God's economy in 43 and 44 aren't enough, then you see the direct example of the Savior. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 2, and He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Christ served the entire world by coming in a manger at Christmas when we celebrate. By coming in a manger and then going to an old rugged cross. You see, your sins were a problem, and so were mine. And can I just tell you this? Your problem of sin couldn't be solved on the same level that you created by sinning. So it had to be solved on a superior level, which had to be Christ. So Jesus didn't come into this world to have His disciples serve Him. Instead, He came to serve mankind by providing salvation for everyone. Jesus was serving you, and Jesus was serving me when He came to Bethlehem. And then when He ultimately died on the cross. Philippians chapter 2, but made Himself of no reputation, but took upon Him the form of a servant. Now everybody in this room has said something like this: I always want to be like Jesus. I would submit to you that we don't always act like we want to. Because I'd say that everybody in this room, you struggle from time to time with wanting to be served, not serve. You struggle with wanting to be ministered to instead of ministering. And I, for one, want to set out on a course tonight to say, Lord, help me be a servant. Help me never think of anybody. Position is one thing. Positions are needed in jobs, in churches, in the military, and everywhere else. Positions are needed. Rank is needed. Or else you get nothing done. But just because you climb higher in an organization, a business, a military, a church, just because you climb higher in somewhere doesn't mean that you get to lose that command of being a servant. If you're a father of a family, I challenge you to be a servant to that family. Oh, sure, you may get a few little perks here and there, the joke about the iced tea glass getting shook and all of that. But I challenge you to be a servant. Challenge you not to lord over people and demand, but instead be a servant. As a patient lay dying and unable to survive, a doctor, if he has life-saving knowledge that can help that person, what does that doctor do? That doctor has the knowledge, that doctor has the position, but truly, if that doctor's going to help that patient, he or she's going to have to serve them. Oh, you say, yeah, but they're getting compensated immensely. Maybe so, but they're going to have to get down to business and serve that person on the table. So I ask you this evening, are you a servant? I give you this one last story and I'll be done. Oswald Goelter, back in the 40s, was a missionary in China. Had served there for about 10 years. And because of some difficulties, he was being called back to the United States. On his way, he had gotten money from some organizations here in the States, and he was going to make his way through to India and then eventually get on a ship and come back. As he got there, and travel was not as near as fast as it is now, even back then in the 40s. When he got there, he had found around some of the piers that he had come in on, was going to be eventually in a few days taking off from on a ship. He had found some refugees. They were actually Jewish refugees, and they had been chased out of Germany because of Hitler's regime. And he had kind of gotten to talk to some of them, and he had told them, Merry Christmas. It was Christmas time. And they said, we're not Christians. He said, well, Merry Christmas. And we said, well, because of my faith in Christ, I still say Merry Christmas. Have a great time. He was going to be there for a few days, and Goelter tried to strike up a friendship with them. On one of the next times that he encountered them, he asked them, what would they want for Christmas? They said, we told you we're not Christians. We don't celebrate that. He said, I understand that, but what would you want if you wanted something anyways? They thought for a while, and of course they'd been run out of Germany. They said, well, we'd love to have some of these German pastries. And they started describing these delicious little gems, and they started talking about that. And he said, okay. This missionary, he cashed the ticket that he'd had in to get some of the funding back, and he went to some pastry shops around there, and he purchased enough for all of the children and the parents and all the folks that were there. They were in some kind of little attics and little shanties and different places, not in very good places at all. Again, they were just barely surviving. And he came and made their day and said, I'm a Christian, Merry Christmas. Now, lest you think he's such a good guy, he later sent word to the States, send me more money, I need some more for a ticket. But that's the other side of the story. But he did get back to the States, and he was recounting this story to a class one time. He was in a seminary. And one of the students asked him, said, brother, Mr., doctor, whatever, Goelter. He said, you told that story, but why did you do it? Because they weren't even Christians, and they don't even believe in Jesus. He gave this answer, but I do. He said, it really doesn't matter what they were going to do. I was going to share the love of Christ because of what's gone on in my life. Now, you can't control what everybody does in your life. You can't make somebody else be a servant. But you can serve other people in whatever area God has allowed you to serve. And I'm asking you in this time of year that you start looking at the people you interact with in a different way. Be that your family, be that your coworkers, be that your employees. Can I give you again the words of Christ? For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And I want to challenge all of us to make our lives, lives of service. Instead of what the world says, I'm going to climb that ladder and I'm going to get to the top. And as soon as I get to the top, I'm going to bark out orders until everybody is snapping to my jumping to the beat of my drum. Instead, Jesus says, let the greatest be the minister of all. And I think that all of us need a good old-fashioned dose of being a servant. Father, bless us now as our prayer. Lord, this does not mean that we're timid and shy and afraid to say anything, dear Lord, because you gave us our personalities. Lord, it does not mean that we, in our jobs, can't give orders to the people that you've put on our team that work for us. Lord, it doesn't mean that a parent can't say, you need to go do that now. Lord, all those things are necessary for organizations or entities to run. But Lord, in the midst of all that, May we get a true biblical picture of the fact that we're all servants. And may none of us get so high that we forget to be servants to those that are around us. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I didn't preach about salvation, but I did preach about servants. And my friend, I don't care how high you've risen in your company or how many children you're blessed to have, may we all be the servants that we ought to have. If Christ, our Savior, never got to a place where He wasn't the servant, then what would make us think that we do? Father, bless us now is our prayer in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as the ladies play something through? If God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. Are you that servant you ought to be? Does your family know you as an ogre that just comes in and barks out orders and never sees the love and the compassion and the, the heart of service? My friend, I submit you change that. Do your employees never see you as the one that stops and has a listening ear to a need that somebody that you're over, that they don't ever, do they never see you stop and listen to that need with a heart of compassion? That's service, my friend. Oh, may we be servants. Would you join these at the altar and come and pray? I know some of us are afraid of COVID and hate to even get down to the altar because there's other people, but there's places on these front rows that you can come and sit. As they play, would you come? Tonight, you're not saved. I didn't preach on that, but Jesus Christ came to save you, to be the minister, the minister and the servant of all. He's a propitiation. That means He takes care of those things. Came to die for your sins. Came to be your servant. If you've never received Him as your Savior, you've never turned to Him in faith, would you do that tonight? That's His desire. Would you step out and come, and somebody would take a Bible and show you how you can be sure that heaven's your home, how you can be sure that you've got your faith placed in Jesus. Maybe you need somebody to pray with. The altar's open. We'll ask them to play through another song, another verse rather. Would you come? Oh, to be like our Savior. Sounds so easy and quaint to say, doesn't it? Oh, I want to be like Him. Well, here's one way that we can certainly do it. Be a servant. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I ask You, dear Lord, to make us the servants of our family, of our co-workers, of our spouse, of our church. Make us the servants. Lord, may we not be looking for that position to be masters over other people. Lord, as You raise us up through the ranks, so to speak, then Your will be done. But wherever we are, may we be the servant to the people that You blessed us to be around. In Jesus' name, amen.